Okay, so we saw the Gemara on Daf Nun Gimel Amud Aleph, this scary principle that where a person's supposed to be, he'll end up being. And if he doesn't go there, his legs will take him there. Specifically, with regard to Misa. With regard to Misa. We have to realize, we believe in Ashkocha process. So in the same way as when you hear that Nebuchadnezzar was a terrible tragedy and somebody was saved miraculously, could you believe it? He just missed the plane and he just missed his cab and he just missed this and he just... We also believe that somebody who was Rahman al-Itzlan caught up in the tragedy, obviously that's also Hashkocha protest. Maybe he wasn't supposed to be there, and Dafka that day he woke up early, he davened in his minyan, and he caught this plane and he took this ride and he met this fellow. That's also Hashkocha protest. That's what this Gemara is saying. If the person's supposed to be there, he'll be there. Whether he was planning it or not, but he will be there. Okay, so I believe we're up to Tanya. Is that what we're up to? Tanya? Says the Gemara, Tanya. Omru Olav al Rabban Shimon ben Gamliel. They said about Rabban Shimon ben Gamliel, Kishahoya somach simchas beis hasheivo. When he rejoiced in the simchas beis hasheivo, hoya noitel shmoine avukos shel oir. He would take 8 torches of fire, the Zoyrik achas, the Noitel achas. You would throw one, catch one, in other words, juggling. The Ein Noigois Zu Bezu. And they would not touch each other. So he was a very skilled juggler, such that he was able to juggle 8 torches, catch one, throw one, and none of them touched each other. Not only that, when he bowed down, Noyetz Shnei Goydlov Bo'aretz. What does Noyetz mean? He would insert his 2 thumbs in the ground, V'shoicha, and he would lean all the way down, basically like doing like a press up. V'noyshek Esaritzbo, and he would kiss the floor. So he would pin his 2 thumbs in the ground and do a press up kimat, kilo be almost flat out, kiss the floor, v'zoykeif, and then he would stand up again. Says the Gemara, v'ein kol beria yecholo lases kein. This is a feat that nobody else could possibly do. V'zuhi kido, and this is kido. What does kido mean? Says Rashi. Shnei goydlov is 2 thumbs, shel shtei yodov, of both of his hands, 1 thumb each. V'nish'an aleihem, and he would lean on them, ad sheshoicha, until he was, as it were, flat out prostrated, v'noishik esaritzbo, and he would kiss the ground, l'kayim mashenema, to fulfill that which is written in Tehillim, Kirotsu avodecho es avoneho. Says that your slaves, your servants, Klal Yisrael, they would want your avonim. What do you mean they want your avonim? Want your stones? It means they would kiss the stones. Vezu kido ho amura biksuvim. And this is kido. When do you find kido in the Torah? Very often. For example, in Parshas Shemois, it says that when Moshe Rabbeinu did the simonim for Klal Yisrael, we pashas v'ir as well, actually. On Yom it says, Vayaso says he did all the signs in front of the nation. Vayaminom, and they believed him, Vayishmu, and they understood. HaKadosh Baruch Hu was reminded, Vachiro is on Yom, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu had seen their affliction. Vayikdu, Vayishtachavu. Now here they translate it, and they bowed their heads and they prostrated themselves. Vayiktu, but you see the Loshon Kido. Vayiktu is a type of bowing. So the Gemara is telling us over here specifically what type of bowing is it. It doesn't mean the way we bow on a regular. We bow in many, many, many different ways. How many different ways do we bow, Rav Nachum? Would you say? Top of your head?
Three.
At least three. The simple bowing we do for Moedim or for beginning of Shemoneh Esrei. Then we do the bowing of Tachnun, Nefilas Hapayim. And then we do the bowing of Yom Nerayim, where we really are flat out. But the truth is, even that's not completely flat out. Because we're on our knees. We're on our knees. We're not lying flat on our front. Al Koponim, this is the Kido, says Rashi, Ho'amura Biksuvim, which is written in the Pasuk. Occasionally you find the Torah referring to a type of bowing described as Kido, or Vayikdu. This is it. The Omar Mar, because the Gemara tells us in Brochus, Kido Al Apayim. Kido al apayim, when you bow down on your face, ein loy lehishtateach, one does not prostrate oneself lohagia laoretz gufoy eloponov bilvad. One does not lower one's guf to the ground, only one's face. In other words, your guf is not actually lying on the ground. The only thing that's contacting the floor is the face. That's how you can kiss the floor. Is me sheyidea v'yochel asis kain? Is anybody who knows and is able to do this? Very, very tricky feat. And in the generation of Rabbi Shimon lo yehoyo echot, there was not a single one me'oim de azora, from people who were standing in the azora there in the Beis Hamikdash, who was yochel asis kain, who is indeed able to do it, Elo, who? He was the only one who was able not to lower his guf, basically to bring his face all the way down to the floor.
He's speaking, yeah.
No. It's not a handstand.
Can you explain it? What is it? Is he not on his knees? No. Huh? No, but he's on his knees and then he goes down. And
then he goes from standing. But his feet are where? His feet are up or down?
I thought he was on his knees and then he just went over.
Is this the right package?
I think this is the package.
I was thinking this is the package.
It should be not far away.
Yeah, I find out. Yeah, it's it.
How in the world can you balance on your thumbs and go down and kiss the floor?
That's it. It's only one person. Well, one person can do it. It's in a Gemara. So he's
the same guy who's juggling the eight.
The eight.
He's a, what do they call you? People who are
acrobats. That's what Rashi says. Face to the ground without any part of their body touching the floor. Yes, you're right. It's some sort of handstand or thumb stand. Which is Zelig will now demonstrate that for us.
Tomorrow I'll practice. Tomorrow.
Okay, a day to practice. Sal Koponim, this is what Kido is. So when it says Vayiktu Vayishtachu, that's what it means. They put their thumbs in the ground and no part of their group was in contact with the floor besides the face. That's what Rashi says. Eiloi Mishtateach Lagia La'oretz Gufoi. One is not prostrated with one's guf, eloponov vilvad, only the face. Who is able to do that? Nobody. Rav Shimon ben Gamliel was the only one there in the Azara who was actually capable of doing this kido. Now we'll see what happens. Levi, says the Gemara, achve kido kamei derebi. Levi actually showed or attempted to show what Kido is in front of Rebbe. And what happened? The Itla. What does Itla mean? He became lame. In other words, it's so complicated, he injured himself in the process. Says Rashi, Itla Naase Chiger. He became lame. Why? Lefi, because Shekesh Zoykeif Gufoy Me'elov. When the goof is upright, Ve'enoi Nishan Al Yodov Bechazoka Lidchoif Gufoy Lamalo. And he is not leaning on his hands in order to support his goof. Nimsa kol oines zekifosoi means all of the weight of his zekifa al mostnov on his thighs or his loins. He's got very, very little support for his goof. If you do a handstand, for example, you put your hands flat on the floor, and do a handstand, even though acrobatically that's a difficult thing to perform, but pressure-wise, it's not such a big deal. Because the pressure of your, the weight of your goof is now all concentrated on your hands. Fine, your hands are a good support. But here with this kedar, your hands are not on the floor. It's just your thumbs are. So where is the weight of your goof concentrated? That's what he says on the thighs. That's why I became lame as a result. Look, Raf, I'll show you, look.
The weight's on the thumbs, that's the support.
Yeah, no, because I don't know if he's necessarily upright.
The pressure is going to be in the middle of your body.
When you stand up from your chair, the pressure's on the stomach. If you've got a terrible stomach ache, when you get up, every time you get up, it hurts.
Once I'm erect.
Yeah, yeah, but you've got to get that pressure up. To get the group of the exertion is on the stomach. The kid said he became lame in the process. Levi became lame whilst showing Rebbe. Says the Gemara, Vaho, Gormo, Lei? Question mark. Is that what caused it? We know that Levi became lame. But this was the story that brought it about. Aye, v'ha'omar belozo. Sholir belozo said, Lo oilom al yatiach odom dvorim klape mailo. Do not throw things, do not complain. Klape mailo. What does it mean, klape mailo? Mm-hmm. Means l'mailo, to Hashem. Don't complain. Klapei Milo to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Why? Because Shaharei Odom Godoil Hitiach Dvarim Klapei Milo. You should know there was a great person who did indeed throw things upstairs. In other words, he complained Klapei Milo. What happened? Ve'itla. And he became lame as a result. Umanu Levi. It was Levi. So it would seem to be that why did Levi become lame? As a punishment for complaining to HaKadosh Baruch Hu about whatever it was. So therefore this is the Gemara's question. You're telling me he became lame whilst doing the Kiddush. That's what caused it? We used to have another memory elsewhere. It says don't complain about HaKadosh Baruch Hu because there was a great person who did and he became lame. So 1 second. So what actually caused him to become lame? The complaint against HaKadosh Baruch Hu, or was it because he did the Kiddush? Says the Gemara, is no contradiction. Ha, v'ha, gormo le. This and that caused it. What does that mean, this and that caused it? In other words, there was a cause, why it happened, and then there was the method, how it happened. So, why did it happen? As a result, as a punishment for having complained against the Rabbeinu Shel Olam. But how did it happen? It happened during the process of the Kiddush. But that wasn't the cause. HaKadosh Baruch Hu could very easily have allowed him to do Kiddush without becoming lame. Why did he become lame? As a result of what he complained against the Rabbeinu Shel Olam. Says Rashi. Yatiach Yizroik. To throw. Loshem Kimtachavei Keshes. Anybody know where it says that? Kimtachavei Keshes? Well read. Which parasha specifically would you say? With the parasha of Hagar and Yishmael, it says that she sent Yishmael, Kimtachavei Keshes, an arrow's throw away. So you see that kimtachave means a throw. Keshes is a bow. So she wants to remember, it says that she didn't want him completely out of sight, but she didn't want to be right with him because she couldn't bear to see him die of thirst. So she sent him kimtachave keshes, an arrow's throw away. So you see that the word metachave means throw. So he tiach dvarim maseches tainus, it says, Ol yisda v'yoshavta l'cha b'morim. It says, very, very difficult to understand exactly what he meant. Olisa, he said to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you have risen. V'yoshavta l'cha b'morim, and you have resided b'morim. What does the morim mean? In the exalted place. V'iyato mashkiach al bonecho, and you are not supervising over your children. That was Levi's complaint to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Obviously, very difficult. Levi was on the Gedolei Amoraim, and obviously he must have had deep meaning what he was referring to. But Al-Koponim, it certainly sounded like in a superficial way that he was complaining. Kadosh Baruch Hu, you're upstairs, you're not really downstairs, there's no hashkacha over here. And what happened as a result? He became lame. I'm just thinking to myself now, why did he become lame? Why is that middah keneged middah? Complained against HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Mashkoch and he became lame. What's the connection? We discussed this actually last week. Midah keneged midah doesn't simply mean that punishment fits the crime. Remember we said the name of Rucham Shulevitz, the crime demonstrates to us the nature of the crime. So it could be, the pshat is as follows. I'm not sure, as a suggestion, you'll tell me whether you agree or disagree. What did he say to HaKadosh Baruch Hu? Ato oliso yoshavta b'morim. You're upstairs, b'morim. What does morim mean? Some high up place, like from the word rom. You're not really connected to what's going on down here. V'yata mashkiach al-bonecho. Al-bonecho. Mido keneged mido, the legs of a person is what connects the goof to the ground. Your head, your stomach, and your lave, which is the main part of the goof, obviously, a person can't live without a head. You can live without legs. You can't live without a head or without a lave. So what's his point of connection between his goof and the ground? It's his legs. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, in the same way that you say that what? That I'm upstairs and I'm disconnected from what's going on downstairs. Midah keneged midah, you'll become lame and you'll no longer also have a point of connection between your goof and the ground. It's like your head and your rosh become morim, but there's no connection anymore. The legs is what transports the goof. That's your point of connection. Perhaps. Says Rashi, ho v'ho gormolei ne'enash. If you want to know why he became punished, that's b'chatas dvorim. Or they change it to b'hatochas dvorim. Because of the words that he said against HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's why he got punished. How did he get punished? V'ne'enash b'shas hamu'ura. But he was punished during this particular episode. What's mu'ura mean? Occurrence or episode. Which episode did he get lame in? The kiddur. So there's a difference between the why and the how or the when. Why did he become lame? That was as a punishment for what he said against the Rebbeinu Shlomo. Now, but when did it happen and how did it happen? During the particular episode of the kiddur.
It was also his only connection to
the floor, correct? Kedarminu Masechta Shabbos Nofal Tura Chodad Lesakino. Okay, there's an expression there. I'll call upon the reference. So you see that how HaKadosh Baruch Hu brings about a punishment is not necessarily the reason why it happens. Which, by the way, is very, 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 very important you say it. Again, because we believe in Hashgacha Pratis. Somebody will, chas v'sholom, be killed in a car crash. So what immediately happens? everyone discusses it, the steering wheel and the traffic and the slope, and was there a bump on the road, and that's not why it happened. That's how it happened. Why did it happen? He clearly deserved it. There was, when Rav Shteinman was nifter, I heard a hesper from one of his talmidim. So he said, he was talking about this point, and he said it as a joke, kaviyachol. Sometimes jokes have a lot of musa. He says that the Satan, Malach HaMaves, came to complain to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He says, what an awful job I have. I've just got to go around killing people. Everyone's going to hate me for it. Nobody's going to like me when HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the Malach HaMaves. What an awful existence. I'm going to be the most unpopular bria in the entire planet. So what did HaKadosh Baruch Hu say? This is a joke, but there's a lot of musa. No, don't worry, you won't be unpopular. Because whenever you kill somebody, somebody dies in a car crash, you'll be the last one to be blamed. Nobody will blame you. People will blame the steering wheel, and people will blame the traffic, and there was a bump in the road, and then the roundabout wasn't wide enough, and it's all the mayor's fault, and the police's fault. And nobody will blame the Satan. Nobody will say, well, the Malach HaMaves was clearly sent by the Rabbeinu Shleilem, and there must be a reason behind this. But you see, in our Gemara, this is exactly the point. The Gemara is asking, do you become lame because of the Kiddo? No, it wasn't because of the Kiddo. It was during the Kiddo. That's how it actually happened. But why did it happen? It was a result. It was an Einish for having complained against the Rabbeinu Shmuel. Okay, back in the Gemara. Says the Gemara, Levi, the same Levi, have a metayel, or they change it to the side to metalel, kamei de Rebbe. He would walk in front of Rebbe, batamni sakini. What's batamni sakini mean? Eight knives. But you could juggle eight knives. Here's Rashi. Kamei de Rebbe. But basically, in his house, Shahoya Nasi, Rebbe was a Nasi. How do we know Rebbe was a Nasi? Rebbe Yehuda HaNasi. Rebbe is Rebbe Yehuda HaNasi. He was the Nasi. Umechabdin Oisai, and they used to honor him, Lismayach, Lissamchai, to Mimisameachim, Shahoya Doyeg Tomid Betzoras Yisrael Ubacharilya. Because you would always be concerned. Who would always be concerned? Rebbe. About all the tzaras and the illnesses of Klal Yisrael. Kadamina ben Adarim, Yoyma the Mechayich Bei Rebbe. On the day that Rebbe smiles, Osti Peronius La'alman, there's punishment in the world. When I was in London now, somebody asked me this. I must tell you, between you and me, it's one of the challenges of being in a position of responsibility. Is that you hear about a lot of very sad things. I always wonder myself, how does Rav Chaim Kanievsky take it? On a regular day, he must hear 20, 30, 40 tzaras. People don't come to him and tell him good news. Oh, I just came to tell the Rav I had a baby. People come to him and tell him, I've been waiting 20 years and I don't have a baby. And I just lost my job and I'm ill and I've got Shalom Bias problems and I've got health issues and I've got chinuch issues and I've got this issue and I've got parnasa problems. All day long, all he hears is tzaras. No. My great grandmother was Isha Gedoyla. Hannah Lieberman lived in Manchester. Isha Gedoyla. Great granddaughter of the South Sefer. Great great granddaughter of the Chassam Sefer. So once there was a big Rebbe, I think it was the Skvera Rebbe, who I think was in England. And my great-grandfather, my great-grandmother went to see the Rebbe, wanted to get a bracha. And you know, when people come to a Rebbe, they give the Rebbe a kvittel. You know what a kvittel is? You write down on a piece of paper your name and whatever problem you have in the daven for you. So my great-grandmother, who was not a shy woman by any stretch of the imagination, asked the Rebbe, what's this pile of kvittlach on the table? It's the old big pile. The Rebbe said, well, this one's got problems in Shalom Bayis, this has got problems in Chinuch, this has got problems in health, this has got problems in Parnassah, this has got problems in this, and problems in that, and problems in the other. And my great grandmother began giving the Rebbe a whole long bracha. Oh, HaKadosh Baruch Hu should help you, Mitzvah Hashem, you should have the chizuk, you should have the kriach, and you should have the strength to be able to deal with all these issues, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu should guide you. My great-grandfather was with her at the time. He had a terrific sense of humor. This is how my father tells over the story. In the middle, I gave her a sort of little nudge and said to her, we came here to get a bracha, not to give a bracha. So the Rebbe spotted him. The Rebbe said to my great-grandfather, no, let her give me a bracha. She's an Isha Gedola, granddaughter of the Kesav Sefer, and I must need a bracha. I need the bracha. And here you have a Mufurash Rashi that says so. That they needed to misameach Rabbi Yehuda HaNasi, so therefore they did this knife juggling trick. Why? Because all day long, all he heard was the tzoreis and the cholyo of Klal Yisrael. It's a very depressing position to be. The Nasi of Klal Yisrael, and you have to deal with all the issues and all the problems and all the sicknesses and the different issues that exist in Klal Yisrael.
What is the second half of
Rashi? Osu Peronius Lalma. When the day that Rebbe rejoices, in other words, if he, as it were, relieves himself of his responsibility, oh, let me have a day off, let me have a good time. That's a bad omen. He's got to take charge. He's got to not be cheerful. He's got to be involved in all the sorrows. Say that. But he needs somebody to cheer him up. So for ladies to come and misaleach, an unbelievable thing. For a shagamar. Says the Gemara, Shmuel Kamei Shvair Malka. Who is Shvair Malka? Shvair Malka, as she says, was the Melech Poras. He was the Persian king, presumably non-Jewish, therefore. Did you hear the story? My son just told me last week. Somebody came to Chaim Kanievsky and said, for whatever reason, his father is called the following name and he wants to change his name. What should he change his name to? Chaim Kanievsky said, Achashverosh. Antiochus. I said, what's going on that way? It's Yochai, they're all non-Jewish names. It turns out the child himself didn't know many, many years ago. So he didn't know his father was a Ger Tzedek. Never knew. His father was a Ger, converted many, many years. And he researched, and it turns out that the Gerus was a dupe. And he was a guy. That's what Chaim was telling him. Not the mother. No, the mother was Jewish. The father, unbeknownst to the son, was a Gerus Tzedek, and it turns out a Gerus was a hoax or a non-existent Gerus. So he wants to change his name. I'll call upon him. Back to our story. So Shmuel, for whatever reason, was serving the non-Jewish king Melech Parasai, and how did he entertain him? Betmanya Mazgi Chamra, with 8 cups of wine. Says Rashi, Mazgi Chamra Koisois Zchuchis, 8 glass cups, Meleim Yayin, full of wine. Ve'ein hayayin nishpach. But none of the wine. So you try balancing 8 cups of wine, and you do not spill. Abaya kamei de rabo. Abaya used to serve rabo mitzmanyo bei with 8 eggs. You try balancing 8 eggs. Omri law, and some say no, but Arba'i Bey, it wasn't 8, it was only 4. Okay, it's also quite a feat. Tanya, Omar Bishra ben Hananiah. Back to the Simchas Beis HaSheva now. Kishayinus Meichim Simchas Beis HaSheva. He says, when we used to rejoice in the Simcha of the Beis HaSheva, he now recorded and accounted for us exactly what used to happen. Loi ra'inu sheino be'ineinu. We never saw sleep at all in our eyes. Meaning the whole Yom Tov. Kate said, how so? So he says as follows. Who was this Rabbi Shua ben Hanani, by the way? Says Rashi. Min halaviyim hamashu'arim hoyo. Does anybody know what that means? Hamashu'arim? That's mashoirer. There's two jobs that a lady has to do. He has to be a mashoirer and a mashoir. Mashoirer from the word shira is a singer. Mashoir with an ayin from the word sha'ar, a gatekeeper. And each one was designated a specific job. And the Gemara in fact tells us a phenomenal thing, that if one of the singers would switch jobs and open the gates, or one of the gatekeepers would switch jobs and sing, it would be chayav misa. I know a certain lady, who shall remain nameless, who has an awful voice. Sings as flat as a pancake. And he once told me, I'm convinced when the base of English comes, my job will obviously be to open the gates. Not to sing. But I'll call upon him. That's what Rashi is saying. That Rabbi Shua ben Hananiah was a Leviim. Hamashoyorim, the root of the word sha'ar. He was one of the gatekeepers. Kedoma be'erechin, like it says in Erechin, it says in Kvaholach, Reb, Yeshua Rechim ben Gudgudal, Sayeya, he went to assist Rabbi Shua ben Hananiah, Bahagofas, the last days, with opening the doors. So you see that was Rabbi Yechanan, that was Rabbi Shimon Hanani's task in the Beis Hamikdash, to open the gates and the doors. So he is the one who is now telling us, describing for us exactly what used to happen during the week of Sukkot, Simchas Beis Tishrei. And he said that we didn't sleep. How can that be? Kate said, Sha'ari Shaina Tomin Shol Shachar. First hour of the day, we were all busy with the Tom and Shol Shachar. Misham Letfilah. From there, we used to go to davening. Misham Lekarba Muslim. Misham Letfilah Samusafi. So the Karba Muslim, followed by the davening of Muslim. Misham Lebeis HaMedrash. From there, we used to go and learn. Misham Lachil Vashir. So the Suda, the Chvod Yom Tov. Misham letfilas haMincha. Misham letomit shel beinu arba'im. Note, over here the tefillah is mentioned before the korban. Whereas the other cases, Shachris and Musaf, the korban is mentioned before the tefillah. The Mefarshim point this out and explain it. Mikan ve'elech, and from then onwards, after the Tomit Shel Beinu Arba'im, we went the Simchas Beis HaShe'im, and that went through the night. Comes to the morning again, Tomit Shel Shachar, and the whole process begins again. Says the Gemara, I don't understand. How can that be? Any question mark? Is that really true? V'ha'omar Rabbi Yechanan. Rabbi Yechanan says, Shavua shelo yisham shloisha yomim. If somebody undertakes an oath not to sleep for 3 days, what halacha? Malkin, I say, we give him malkas. V'yisham alti has to go to bed straight away. Why? Has to go to sleep straight away. Why? Because it's not a false oath, it's what's called a shuashol. It's an impossible oath. If somebody takes an oath, I swear that this table is pink. That's a shuashol. So if you make an oath, I'm not going to sleep 3 days, that cannot be. And if it cannot be, you get malchus, and they send him to bed straight away. So how can you say that during the whole course of Yom Tov? He never slept at all. It's not shy. It's a physical impossibility. The stipler, by the way, in yeshiva, only used to sleep every second night. Every second night. That was his program for the week. He used to learn the whole of Sunday, through Sunday night, Monday, and sleep Monday evening. 36 hours on the clock. Tuesday he used to learn, Tuesday night he was up, Wednesday night he would sleep. Thursday, all through Thursday, Friday, he sleeps Friday night. So how can Rabbi Shua ben Hananiah say that what during the week of Simchas Beis Shiva we never slept at all? It's a physical impossibility. Horaya, if somebody takes an oath to that effect, what happens to him? He gets Malchus on the spot. Says the Gemara, Elo, one of our favorite words, Elo. You're right, we have to backtrack a bit. Hochi Koma, what does Hochi Koma mean? This is what he meant. I know what he said. That was the question. I know what he said. He said we never slept. That was the whole problem in the first place. How can you not sleep? No. What he meant was, Loito'amnu ta'am sheina. Not that we physically didn't sleep. We never really tasted the taste of sleep. How do you taste the taste of sleep? You go to bed, pillow, duvet, geschmack. He says we never tasted sleep. We might have slept. Rather, dava manamnami, we used to, what does manamnami mean? We used to doze a cat for the hadodi on each other's shoulders. So nobody went to lie down in bed. You're right. It can't mean we didn't sleep at all. But we didn't taste sleep. We didn't have the enjoyment of proper sleep. At best, we used to doze off a bit on our neighbor's shoulder. Says Rashi, Malkin Oisai, why? Shenishba Lashov. Because he has made a oath in vain. Umeshah. Sheyotzos shvua mipiv, and from that very moment that the shvua emerges from his mouth, harehu kenishpa, it is as if he has taken an oath. Al ha'omud shel even, it's like referring. Imagine you would swear about a pillar of stone, shehu shel zov, that it's gold. If I would take an oath that this table is not of stone, it's of gold, when am I over the shvua? Immediately. So too, if somebody says that I'm not going to sleep for 3 days, when is he over the shvua? Immediately. You don't have to wait for 3 days to be up. You know from the outset it's an impossibility. Sha'afzeh, so to this fellow, who's taken an oath not to sleep for 3 days, nishba al-davar sheyefsh. He has taken an oath about something which is totally impossible. Ubeshvuas, now we learned in Shvuas, the Ainu Shvuas of the Chayavim al Zdoino Makois, and your Chayav, at least if you did it amazing, Makois, Ukagoin Shehisruboi. Obviously, talking about where they gave you warning. So if they warn you, say, listen, for some reason they had reason to suspect that he's about to make this shvua, otherwise you can blurt it out and there's no hasra. But if there was hasra and they warned you, if you take this shvua, you should know it's an impossibility and you're making a shvua shav, which is chayav malchus. By the way, very, very important to know, in what way would you say that the malchus of a shvua shav is a very big chiddush? Why is it a big chiddush? It's a deraisa. So why is it a chiddush? If it's a deraisa, if somebody eats nevela, he gets malchus. Or if bos b'chol, he gets malchus. Why is this a chiddush? It's a tremendous chiddush. Why? Because?
He's not after Allah. It was the
mouth. No. Oh, it was the mouth. It's not a maisa.
We learned
it. Oh. Oh. It's a lav she'ein boi maisa. We always said that speech is not considered an act. Let's take an extreme case. There's an issur d'oraisa to have chometz in your house on Pesach. Lo yiro elecha chometz. Lo yiro elecha soir. And if you do, you don't get malchus. Why not? So that's shame by maisa. Didn't do an act, you just own it. What happens if somebody takes revenge? What is the classic case of revenge? There's billions of examples, of course, of revenge. But how does Rashi define for us revenge? Rashi Alatayr says, quoting Chazal, your neighbor knocks on your door, can I borrow your garden spade? And you say to him, no, you didn't lend me your dining room table, I'm not lending you. Say that over at Issa Dereisa. It doesn't get malchus. Why? Because speech is not a mace. If you take a shua, it's also just speech, it's not a maaser. This is one of the exceptions that on this type of speech you do get malchus, even though generally it's considered a lav she'ein boy maaser, but over here you get malchus. Okay, let's make a start to the next Gemara. Chomesh Esrei Mailos. Remember the Chomesh Esrei Mailos says they used to descend the Ezra's Noshim, and there were 15 steps that were keneged the 15 Shira Mailos. Even though we said, how many times is Shira Mailos? 14. One occasion it says Shir La Ma'alos. Shir La Ma'alos is 39. Says the Gemara, Omale Rav Chista Lahu Midrabonon. Rav Chista said to one of the Rabbonon, to have a komasader agadata kame. What does agadata mean? Agadaic teaching. Remember we said we have two types. We have hilchasa, halachic sugyas, and then we have agadaic sugyas. So he said, he went to one of the rabbonim who was masader agadata. He was in charge with organizing agadata. He would be explaining agadata. Omale, and he said to him, Shmia Lecho, have you heard Hani Chomesh Esrei Mailos? These 15 steps Keneged Mi Omram David. So these Chomesh Esrei Mailos, we said, are what? A Keneged, the Chomesh Esrei Mailos, the Shira Mailos in Tehillim. But why indeed did David HaMelech compose 15 Prokim of Tehillim that all begin with the word Shir HaMaaleh? Keneged what? What does it correspond to? Omalei. So he told him, I'll tell you the story. Hochi Oma Rabbi Yechanan. This is what Rabbi Yechanan said. Besha Shekara David Shittim. When David was digging out the shittim. Now we had shittim early on in this perek. Remember, what was the shittim?
The altar.
Underneath the mizbeach. Why was it called shittim? From the word shissa. 6 days of creation, we said it was created all the way back in Sheshes Mebereshes. So David HaMelech was digging out this shittim. Now, what does it mean digging it out? I thought HaKadosh Baruch already created it from Sheshes Mebereshes. Do you remember there were two opinions on the subject? Remember one opinion said they used to go periodically, once in every 70 years, to scoop out all the wine that had become crushed, and whereas we didn't scoop out, but it went all the way down to the earth's core. What is this? Machlokes. That's what Rashi says over here as well. B'shar Shekara Dovichit, it says Rashi on the third bottom line. V'loi Sfirale, he did not hold Shemisheshes Yimebreshes Nivru. He clearly was not of the opinion that it was created during the Shesh Mebereshes, because if they were indeed created Shesh Mebereshes, there's nothing to dig for. The East Virelay. Or if he does hold that way, perhaps he does. So what was he busy digging? Shema, perhaps Nismalu Afar. Perhaps the Shittim became full of earth. Or stones. That's why he needed to dig it out. So Rashi says, I'm leaving it open. Either he held that the Shittim was not created during the Shesh Mebereshes and David HaMelech therefore needed to dig it out, or he held it was created during the Shesh Mebereshes but it became stuffed with stones and earth. That's why he needed to not so much dig it but redig it. Either way, so he dug the shittim, and what happened? Kofa tahoima. The tahoim, which is the deepest waters of the planet, rose up ubo'i lemishtefe alma and wanted to flood the world, and it was unstoppable. Says Rashi. Kofa tahoima, sof ha tahoim. The tahoim, the depths, the deep waters floated, lamalo, upwards, v'yotzo, and they emerged from this digging, and they were about to overflood the world. V'yitzef ha-barzel, when it says v'yitzef, which means floating or flooding, the targumino, the targum means v'kofa, parzel. You see that the word kofa means flooding. And that's what David was concerned about. It looked for all the world like this. Mayim was going to come up through the Tahoim and flood the world. Omar David, Chomesh Esrei Mailois Vohairizon. So David HaMelech said 15 Shira Mailois, and that way the water subsided. So if you want to know what is the source, where does the 15 Shira Mailois come from, the answer is it comes from this story. Alright, we'll hold it over here. We're actually in the middle of the story, very fascinating story, famous story, I think. Tomorrow let's try and reach the mission of Eitz Hashem. We're very much planning Beis Hashem. It should be easily done. Finish the Masechta before the end of the month. We're about 3.5 days. We have 6 weeks left till the end of the month. It should be very manageable with Chazorah. Start something new. Everyone's invited to invite 3 people to join the shiur. Bring all your mishnah time, guys. Any of them have time in the morning?
Guys, come to your shiur Tuesday morning. It's Tuesday, the day of